The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but it is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe." The Gospel of the Lord. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. The one who cares when others could care less. The one who makes your comfort food. The one who listens deeply to you because they truly want to hear what you have to say. The one whose touch can heal and relieve fear. The one who calls you special and never tires from saying, "I love you." The one who teaches faith, hope, and love. The one in whose presence you always feel at home. Who is this one for you? Well, if you have a belly button, then you were born to a mother. Please check now if you need to. Some may have been hatched. Sometimes our earthly mothers are the one, if at least for a time. Sometimes the one is an aunt or a grandmother or another maternal figure. Sometimes when the one dies, we are left with just memories. Other times, someone else may become the one for us. And sometimes we are the one for someone else. For Anna Jarvis, the woman who is credited with creating Mother's Day, the one was her mother. Perhaps that is also true for you. Maybe it is not, but we all have had or have someone who functioned as the one. So happy Mother's Day to all the ones of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And while Mother's Day is not a liturgical holiday, church attendance is often way up. Why? It's not because Mom makes us go to church, although she might have in our younger days. No, attendance is up because all children of God feel the need to thank God for that one, to thank God for Mom. In the liturgical calendar of the church yesterday, we did remember someone who served as the one to many in her lifetime and whose life and writings have even inspired many to don her with the title Mother. I am speaking of Mother Julian of Norwich. Mother Julian may not have ever given birth herself, although some have speculated that her husband and her children were all victims of the Black Plague, which is quite plausible. You see, during Julian's lifetime, between 1342 and 1412, not only did the Black Plague sweep through Europe on three different occasions, she also lived during a part of the Hundred Year War and through several peasant revolts that were quite violent, and also through the Great Western Schism of the Church, as well as through fierce storms with hurricane-force winds. It was a time of terror and fear, economic uncertainty, and political instability. And while the intensity of Julian's day was many times greater than ours, today's global financial instability, the HIV and AIDS pandemic, and the threats of global flu pandemics, terror plots, wars on terror, ecological disasters, and the endless stream of church scandals, as well as Christianity's inability to look beyond denominational prejudices and unite in prophetic mission and ministry when it is needed most, may reveal that Julian is indeed well suited to be the one, or one of the ones, our spiritual mother today. When she was about 30 years old, Julian became gravely ill, and she nearly died. During that time, she, like John of Patmos, the author of our second reading, and Paul, the apostle of our first reading, was the recipient of divine mystical visions, 16 to be exact. These showings, as she called them, not only healed her illness, but also transformed her life. She wrote these visions into a book and is credited with being the first woman author in the English language. The richness and relevance of her revelations moved even Thomas Merton to say that she was the greatest theologian for our time. So what did Julian have to say? Well, Julian was not her name, at least not the name that was given to her by her birth mother. She was an anchorite, and she lived in a cell that was attached to St. Julian and Edward's Church in Norwich. The process to become an anchorite was complex and rigorous, and the fact that she was granted permission attests to her spiritual gifts. Can you imagine if someone came up to Pastor Bang and said, I want to build a little hut off the side of the church in the parking lot and live there for 40 years? It would be quite a process, I think. All anchorites, and Julian also, was given last rites before entering the cell, because she would remain there until her death. And Julian's cell was small, with a simple bed, an altar, a wall crucifix, and three small windows. The first window opened toward the church for her to receive the body and blood of Christ, the Eucharist. The second was to receive food and water and to dispose of refuge. The third was to counsel and to pray with those who sought her counsel. And very many did. For about 40 years, she lived in that cramped cell, yet she transcended its physical confines with her joyful optimism and infectious hope. She is probably most famous for saying, all shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. Julian could live in this remarkable way because of the one who was with her in that cell, in her mind, and in her heart. And that one for Julian was Christ. Julian was the first to speak of Christ as mother. And she wasn't a radical feminist in that she was also comfortable seeing God as father. In fact, she said, God enjoys being both our father and our mother. She made the comparison not based upon gender from a biological perspective alone, but rather by focusing upon the traits and characteristics of an ideal mother. In fact, she would often use male pronouns when describing these mother-like qualities of Christ. The following is an excerpt from her showings to make the point. Our Lord showed me a spiritual sight of his home-like loving. I saw that he is all things good and comfortable for us and our help. He is our clothing, for love wraps us and winds around us, hugs us and teaches us everything, hangs about us for tender love, so that he may never leave us. And during a time when many women died in childbirth, sacrificing their life for their offspring, Julian, in her fourth vision, declares the following. We know that all our mothers bear us to pain and to dying. Ah, what is that? But our true mother, Jesus, he alone bears us to joy and endless living. Blessed may he be. Thus he sustains us with him in love and labor up to the full term pains that ever were or shall be. And he died at the last. Christ was the one for Julian. Is Christ also the one for us? The one who is Christ made Julian a mother to many in the faith. Has Christ transformed us also to being mothers in the faith? Paul was struck with a spiritual vision and physical blindness on that Damascus road and was healed by God's command like Julia. For Paul, Christ was also the one. He felt a constant closeness to Christ, so much so that he could venture out, away from his home to be the one through whom others, such as Lydia and that man from Macedonia, so that they could hear and learn of Christ, the true and only one. For John of Patmos, his revelation shows a picture of a homemaker God that has everything set for our homecoming. And the author of our gospel, John the Evangelist, shows us the Christ just before his crucifixion, giving instructions and promising support to his brood, to his kids. Behind his urging them to love him and to keep his word is the disciples and our own recollection of Jesus' mothering actions throughout the gospel. The word made flesh that dwelt among us, referred to in the prologue of John's gospel, reflects Jesus' ministry of being with his children, meeting them where they are, just as a maternal figure rushes to be with her child in need. Jesus' living room was every room and every space where any child of God suffered. He even cleaned house in the temple. And did he know how to stretch a meal? A few fish and some bread for 5,000? Not a problem. Something only a mother could do. He also showed them how to break bread and to share wine, how to love one another. He had patience with them as he taught them about faith, hope, and love. He even gave the kids a bath, washing their feet and teaching them to do likewise. And here in today's gospel passage, like every good mother, Jesus makes provisions for the ongoing care and instruction of his children by sending the Holy Spirit to help them live lives of meaning by loving others like the one loved them. And finally, like every good mother, he urged the family to stick together and pray to God that they would be one as he and the Father were one. The most amazing thing about the one who is our God is that we, who are so flawed and broken, are not only forgiven and healed, but we are affirmed and empowered by the knowledge that the one who loves us never wavers in that love. This revelation by Mother Julian makes the point. And in this he showed me a little thing, the quantity of a hazelnut lying in the palm of my hand. And to my understanding, it was round as any ball. I looked upon it and thought, what may this be? And I was answered generally in this way: it is all that I have made. I marveled how it might last, for I thought it might fall into nothing because of its littleness. And I was answered in my understanding: it lasts and always shall, for God loves it. And so all things have been through the love of God. The one who cares for us when others could care less. The one who brings us our comfort food. The one who listens deeply to us because he truly wants to hear what we have to say. The one whose touch can heal and relieve pain. The one who calls us special and looks in our eye and never tires from saying, I love you. The one who models and teaches us faith, hope, and love. The one in whose presence we always feel at home. Who is this one for us? Is not this one our Lord Jesus the Christ? Amen. Julian writes, he wishes us to know that the noblest thing he ever made is humankind, and the fullest substance and the highest virtue is the blessed soul of Christ. And furthermore, he wishes us to know this dear, worthy soul was preciously knitted to him when it was created, with a knot so subtle and so strong that it is one with God. In this oneing, it is made endlessly holy. Furthermore, he wants us to know that all the souls that are being saved in heaven without end are knitted into this knot and one in this oneing and made holy in this holiness. So on this Mother's Day, we too, brothers and sisters, can say with Mother Julian that all shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manners of thing shall be well. For the one who loves us does not waver, and empowers us to be the one that the world is longing for. Amen.